Hello everyone, welcome to the fourth episode of Draft Team, the only podcast that gives you all the top level limited information you could ever need. I'm Shyler, and with me today, as always, is Tyler, and making his second appearance on the podcast, the creator of the Mirror and Watchtower Facebook page, Jeff Overson. How are you guys?
Very good.
Good.
It's good to be with you guys again.
Yeah, it's been a while. So today we're going to be doing a sort of crack-a-pack thing. We're just going to crack open three or four packs and talk about what we pick out of the pack and also talk about the cards in general, because some of the packs we're going to open are pretty old. So,
like this first one.
Yes, this first one is Fallen Empires.
Okay, the first card is Mindstab Thrall. It's one and two black for a 2/2. If Mindstab Thrall attacks and is not blocked, you may sack it to force the player that it attacked to discard three cards. If you do so, it deals no combat damage during combat this turn, obviously.
That's pretty insane.
Yeah, it's very good. You definitely want to block it.
If you don't, you're basically losing your best cards.
You want to keep your cards. Okay, next we have Elvish Hunter. It's one and a green for a 1/1 elf. You can pay one and a green and tap it, and target creature does not untap during their controller's next untap step.
That's powerful.
It's powerful that it keeps another creature down.
Yeah, but the problem is it's in green, so there's nothing in green that really taps down creatures, so you have to wait for them to attack before this becomes useful.
Yes.
So, in a way, it's not too strong, but it's of a decent power level. It wouldn't be a bad first pick.
Goblin Chirurgeon. 1 red, 0/2. It's a goblin, and it has a mana ability for 0. For 0, you may sacrifice a goblin to regenerate a target creature.
Goblin Surgeon right there is my first pick.
Yeah.
I'm a goblin boy. I've been running for almost 14 years on a deck. Goblin Surgeon is one of my highlights on my deck.
Goblin, I don't know what in the heck this name is.
Chirurgeon.
We're not good spellers. Goblins aren't known for their renowns in grammar. They're renowned in popping sounds and going fast.
The Chirurgeons patched up their fallen comrades with a gruesome mix of twisted limbs and mangled flesh.
It's funny you say popping sounds and stuff. The flavor text fits, and then what the art on this card looks like. It's like someone had just popped all over this guy.
The idea of where I got the popping sound was from an Onslaught Goblin, a Skirt Prospector, and he costs 1 red to end his abilities. You can sack a goblin and add a red to your mana pool. And the flavor text read, I like goblins. They make funny popping sounds when they die.
And it's funny, the flavor text on this kind of matches with the Mindcrab Thrall. The Mindstab Thrall, it kind of seems like he operated on him. And that's how he ended up like...
The Thrall looks like the surgeon. Because, see you next week, Doc.
they patch up their comrades with a gruesome mix of twisted limbs and mangled flesh. That's exactly what the Mindstab Thrall is.
Yeah, that's a twisted little thing. its arms are on its head and stuff.
Oh my goodness, the surgeon did that.
Yeah.
The stories between cards.
Okay, we've got Elven Fortress. It's an enchantment for 1 green. You may pay green and a colorless. Target blocking creature gets +0/+1 until the end of the turn. So you can block. I mean, you can pump a blocker.
Yeah, if you need to save them, it's
good.
It's good. Yeah, so I wish this was actually a wall and not just an enchantment. Seems like it'd be a better fit as a wall.
They could pump itself.
I mean, because the itself. Art just screams this should be a creature wall.
Especially since the art is a gate.
Yeah.
Back in the day, that's all I have to say.
Okay, what's our next?
Now we have Acacian Infantry. It is 1 white... For a 1/1, You can pay one and it bans until the end of the turn, or you can pay one and it gets first strike until the end of the turn. Now, banding basically means you if you band this with other creatures with band, or you band it with other creatures, they would attack or block like as if they were one that turn. It unifies the creatures. Basically, it unifies them into one. Like, say you were attacking with three of these guys at the same turn. They were all banded together.
Yeah.
You'd be effectively attacking with a 3-3.
Oh, so it's essentially you've got three creatures, but
it
they
makes,
all...
Yeah. So it makes everything bond. Attack into it as a group. Like, literally.
Yeah, it's
as
a group.
One, it's basically one creature, yeah, exactly. But three separate creatures.
Why don't we don't have banding anymore? Because that sounds like
I don't
a
know.
Beautiful idea.
I think
it was an errated mechanic. I don't think it really did well when it first came out.
I read a thing
on
the internet that said it went away after 6th edition.
Well.
So it hasn't been around for a long time.
It's definitely not evergreen, I know that. not evergreen.
You know, I think banding was had the same kind of issues that Kamigawa had when it was first in play, whereas Kamigawa, it's a beautiful set. But
yeah, but it's all like, you can't really mix it very well with other sets.
It didn't play well with others.
Yeah. Not to mention most of the creatures are legendary, so none of the creatures play well with others either.
I'll drop Branch and Kami. It's a 1/1 spirit with flying. I consider that the rarest card. Why? Because it's not legendary.
Exactly.
It didn't land well either.
They were not. It didn't. Okay.
Very nice.
His friends just kept dying.
And that's why he's the Lone Lantern Kami.
Okay, we've got Brass Claw Orcs. It's 2 and a red for a 3/2. And it cannot block a creature with power greater than 1. It's meant to attack. It's a 3 mana 3/2 that you want to attack with.
The only problem with this is
you're not really going to block with it anyways.
The only problem with this I see is just because I'm used to more, you know, recent cards, and the 3 mana slot is a lot higher than it used to be. So this is, I guess, premium like beater. In this sort of a set, but it just seems like 3/2 for 3 isn't too good. Especially since it can't block anything greater than 1.
So far,
it's basically a one-trick pony.
Worth noting, Mindstab Thrill would trade or kill any of these creatures in combat.
That's true.
2/2 kills the hunter, kills the Chirurgeon, kills this guy, trades with that guy. Kills that guy.
So far, right. He is the highest pick in power.
Power toughness wise, the Mindstab Thrall is in a good spot.
Yeah, but that Thrall, he's gonna kill this thing real bad.
Okay.
And then he'll have to go talk to the surgeon about getting her stitched up.
He'll turn into a Thrall.
Okay. So with our first rare, we got two rares in this pack. Our first rare is Thelenite Druid. It's 2 and a green for a 1/1. You can tap 1 and a green and tap it. Sacrifice a creature to turn all of your forests into 2/3 creatures until the end of the turn. The forests still count as lands, and they don't have haste.
Yeah, the good thing about this creature is like I was saying...
3 mana 1/1, though. I have to say, that's not...
The good thing about this, though, is you can activate the ability and sack itself to give all your forests.
Yeah, if you want,
make
just,
them 2/3s.
Like if you have a ton of forests,
because it's not sack another creature; it's sack a creature, so it could be itself.
Yeah.
So it could just be
just be used to
like an instant
them
or sorcery,
in the face with all of
give
your lands for one turn, and then and then go away.
I mean, that's right there, and so that could be a very good game changer or a game ender, depending on what the situation. If you're running like a mono green and you've got all your lands out of your deck at this point, you've already accelerated.
To be honest, if you picked the first pick of this pack, if you picked a green card, you'd probably want to end up with that card anyways, because you'd be playing forests, and why not have big end game, like you said.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, with our last rare, our second rare, our last card, 3 mana artifact, it has pay 2 and tap it, target creature gets +0/+2 and as long as Spirit Shield remains tapped. Okay, so you can tap it and 2 mana to give something +0/+2 as long as it's tapped, and you may choose not to untap it during your untapped step. So you can just leave something out there with +0/+2 until maybe it dies or something like that, and then you this actually makes everything survive Mindstab Thrill now.
I really enjoyed seeing the cards that would let you choose not to untap. One of the more cards I know in that effect is the Giant Oyster, and I think it was a 5th edition, I want to say, is where we first got our appearance. I could be wrong, don't quote me on that one. But what he is he stays untapped, and he can basically hold a creature and give it -1/-1 every upkeep. So every player's turn, it'll get a counter on it, and you don't have to untap him. So I really like that mechanic.
Something I didn't notice is that Mind Stab Throw. It looks like he's holding a knife or something in his hand.
It's some kind of... I don't know if it's a knife.
It's the surgeon's tool.
Look. It's got the surgeon's tools strapped around its arm.
And
It took one tool out from the strap. Like, it's got it's literally around its arm right there.
It's literally a creation. So it took different arms of different things, and
He surpassed his creator by doing his own thing and took his tools.
Yes.
And we wonder why the Thelonite Druid only has one arm. Alright, so let me just explain something about the Fallen Empire set. From what I read online is Fallen Empires could have... it's only 8 card booster packs, so it has a chance to have 0 rares, 2 rares, or just 1 rare and
up to 2 uncommons.
Yeah. So in this case, we got lucky and got 2 rares. I don't know. I doubt they're worth anything, but
no.
Anyways, this was a
my pick is still the Mindstab Thrall.
Yeah, if we were to pick something out of this pack, it would probably have to be the Mindstab Thrall.
If it depends, I don't know how big banding was back like in this set. So if banding was bigger, I might actually even if the creature was banding wield. Or something like that. Or if it was big, maybe I would even first pick that.
Just because imagine...
banding could be big.
Just imagine combining that banding card, that soldier, with the forests, the creature forests, that the Thelonite Druid makes.
Band and just him with
band
all
those forests.
Oh my goodness.
Together. So it's like a 42-42 creature.
Yeah.
When we first were talking on this, and we were talking, we got to to making the force basically like a game changer or a game ender. That really right there says no. I'll kill you twice before you hit the ground.
Yes,
drop 2 full life totals and then 2 extra damage. Because why not? Be spendy. Yeah. You know. All right. I honestly think that the Mindstab Thrall would have been the best, or I enjoyed
the think
banding.
The Mindstab Thrall is still the first pick.
I'm very hesitant with my Goblin Surgeon, just from a lot of years of playing with him, but I can say, you know, taking aside my personal opinion and going on just the professional standpoint, I'm going to run with the Thrall or the Bander, or that Forest. That's what I would choose.
So all of us are picking that Mindstab Thrall?
I am.
Well, I don't know if that works in the draft or not, but...
No.
It just seems like the raw power level on that card is worth it.
Yeah,
If they can't block it, they're losing 3 cards.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to lose 3 cards.
Unless it's a scap deck.
Granted, it'd be pretty hard to... it'd be pretty funny to draft with this set, because there's 8 people in a pod, right? So... you would not see the pack come around.
So you'd open up that pack and go, well...
Yeah, the thing is like, when you draft with this set, you have to have 6 boosters. Each person has 6.
Or...
even to make it 45 cards.
Yeah.
That's it.
So you have to double it if you want to...
and that's with just getting by on cards.
Just
that's 45 cards.
So you would only see one of these cards. You would only be able to pick one of these cards up. It would not wheel. Unless you did a 4-person draft with Fallen Empires.
Well, you did,
You could do a 4-man draft because each person gets 2 cards out of each pack.
Yeah. You'd better hope you pick the right card, though.
Because only one of those cards is coming back.
You only get one chance.
You get a four-man draft.
Yeah.
I want to know, what is a good question to throw out, especially for all of our listeners. When did Magic change from the 8-pack rule to up to the 15s? When did we all make that evolution?
I don't know. See, I was trying to figure that out myself.
I'll look that up while we're talking about other stuff.
Because I remember when I started playing back in... I was specifically started on Mirrodin. That was the set that I started doing more booster packs on. I saw a lot of 8th edition, a lot of 7th edition. Well, near the end of 7th, but I still had quite a few packs, and they still had 15. So, and I think even up to Onslaught... I want to say maybe even somewhere in Urza's Legacy, Urza's Saga, that block, maybe when we started getting into the 15s. That's at least my prediction just from the top of my head, not going with much resource other than my own experience. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this next pack we're going to open is a Innistrad pack, which is fun, because Innistrad is one of the best sets ever, in my opinion at least. I don't know about these two, but...
Innistrad, well...
I like the mechanics of it.
Innistrad was definitely one of the favorite of the draft sets in the past few years. You know, of players, of most players. I personally, my favorite draft set was Khons of Tarkir. Triple Khons was the best, in my opinion. Do you want to start on it?
Okay. So the Innistrad pack, there it is on screen. The first card is Elder Cathar. It is a 3-drop 2/2 human soldier. When it dies, put a 1/1 counter on target creature you control, and if that creature is a human, you put 2 on it instead. So,
yes, it's very good. Definitely highly picked. I would highly draft it.
Yeah, especially since it's...
You can pick up a lot of humans, and it can be very good.
Yeah, this set has a lot of sacrifice mechanics inside it, so makes it a little bit better than most. The next card we have is...
Good with the Aristocrats kind of stuff.
Yeah,
if you think about it.
Aristocrats deck will...
Because, you sack it to an aristocrat. Some of the aristocrats are human, right?
Yeah, aren't they? Yeah, most actually.
Most of them are vampire, right?
I don't know. I think there's one that I know of that is strictly vampire, and that's Falkenrath Aristocrat.
Yeah, and most of the rest I think are human.
Because, I mean, if we jump a few...
But, you can sack that to whatever and make something else bigger. That's a pure value.
The next card we have is Grave Ramble. It's a 3-drop 3/4 plant creature. It has defender and protection from zombies. So really huge in this set.
Yeah, there's a lot of zombies. 3/4 defender is really good. And it blocks and kills a lot of things in this set. Like it blocks really well.
Yeah. It'll block... will it block... No, wait, Huntmaster Wilson in this set.
No, Huntmaster was in Dark Ascension. It'll block a lot of stuff in this set. That blocks a lot. And it kills a lot, too. The 3 power is really relevant.
Yeah. The next card we have in the pack is Bloodcrazed Neonate. It is a 2-drop vampire creature, 2/1. It attacks each turn if able, and when it deals combat damage to a player, you put a 1/1 counter on it. Always good to have these type of vampires, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
The only problem with this one is it has to attack every turn, but because sometimes you don't want to have to attack, but...
Well, the other side of it is that it's always making sure, like, you don't run everyone like that, so you just keep, you know, 2-3 on hand. That way you can always have an offensive going at them, so they always have to know that they're... I mean, obviously, if they've got big creatures, you're just losing a creature.
Yeah, but always know that they're under pressure.
They always know that they have to be prepared of, okay, if I don't do something, I'm taking 2 damage. Next turn, I'll be taking 3 damage if I don't kill that. Yeah. So it's just going to constantly sit there boosting itself up. Like if it didn't have the
boost. Yeah, if you let that thing in, it just gets bigger, and then you let it in again, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So
it's, yeah.
You know, it's a lot better than a lot of...
It's good. Vampires were really good in this.
And after a couple times of it getting in, even though it has to attack every turn, it could just... It's just, at that point, like a 3-3 or a 4-4, and it, even though it attacks every turn... It's still, no matter if it's getting through or if it's blocked or whatever, it'll kill whatever is blocking it, and or it will deal a whole bunch of damage.
Absolutely.
So,
hmm.
Yeah, the next card we have in the pack is another favorite of the set, Ambush Viper. It's a 2-drop snake creature. It's a 2/1 with Flash and Death Touch.
That right there is my pick.
Pretty sure we don't have to explain Flash and Death Touch.
Yeah. 2 damage, destroy attacking creature.
Yeah, it's basically a green destroy target creature.
Yeah.
You want to use this during combat to kill something.
Yeah. He's not a creature that you want to drop just to say, hey, look, I have him. It's, nope, you wait for the big guy to attack, and you're just like, nope. Do you have first strike? Double strike? No. Good night. Have a good day. It was fun meeting you.
So, I just barely figured it out what we were talking about earlier. I found Legends was the first packs that contained 15 cards.
Really?
Before that, some cards. I mean, some antiques and Arabian Nights and stuff. They had 8, and then after Legends, they went back to 8. Then they went to 10 with the unglued stuff. And then they went back to 15, and they've stayed at 15 since then.
I want to eventually, for all the listeners that are listening, to eventually get an unhinged or an unglued pack and open that. But
I'll throw out my super haste rabbit. It has the super haste mechanic. It'll attack the turn before you cast it.
Super haste.
Another personal favorite. It was the donkeys of the set, and there's
it's like if the Flash was a card.
And you see,
he would have super ace.
Another fun one was I'll get 3.5 life.
Yes. Or a creature has like 1.5 toughness or 1.5 attacks.
Are those packs affordable?
I think they're pretty expensive because it was only a certain amount of.
Yeah, they were
product produced, yeah. So and Mark Rosewater created it, so who knows how many he decided to print. So
Rosewater is a genius. Good man.
I want another unset, man. It's gotta be coming soon.
Because it just gives you like a fun feel of Magic. It really shows that the games it's got its serious points, it's got its time to be professional, it's got its time to really study and learn the beauty of every little detail. And then it also turns around and we're just a bunch of gamers just having some fun.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the big friendly giant or whatever. It costs like 12 black, and it's 2 cards that you have to play together. You can't play it separately.
Oh, that, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
The big guy.
The one that has the text, it goes across both cards.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't read the full text without having the second card.
For any of our viewers who know of the game store Mythic Games in Lehigh, they have a copy of it.
Also known as Epic, for now.
Well, it was Epic, now it's Mythic.
Yes.
Okay. There's so much to say, though.
To get back to the pack now, we have Stitch Drake. It's a 3-drop, 3-4 flyer. Zombie Drake. As an additional cost to cast it, you have to exile a creature card from your graveyard.
Yes, I like it. 3-mana, 3-4, not much of a cost.
Not much of a drawback, really.
Not much of a drawback.
Especially
at all.
With the, back in the standard days of mono blue scab decks or mirror colored
decks. Yeah, scab. Yeah, that's the exact kind of scab kind of mechanic that you want.
Yeah. Our next card is Harvest Pyre,
yeah.
Which is a 2-drop instant, 1 in a red. As an additional cost to cast Harvest Pyre, you have to exile X cards from your graveyard. And in exchange, it deals X damage to target creature.
It has Delve.
Almost. Yes.
It has Delvish.
Delvish.
Delvish. That's a new word.
New term.
One of the best burn spells in the set.
So it's basically you pay 2 mana and exile any number of cards you want, and that's how much damage it does. Minus, so the X is where the damage comes from.
Yes.
This was in a Pro Tour, in Pro Tour Gatecrash, in one of the top 8 decks.
I played it in my Red Deck Wins deck back then.
Yeah, Red Deck Wins was really good back then.
Yeah.
With Vexing Devil.
You had Reckoners, you had Vexing Devils, Searing Spears, Pillar of Flames, Boros Charms, Boros Reckoners, Thunder Mile Kite.
And at that point,
you just had all the red burn. Hellrider was in, was,
yeah,
you know, everything.
Whatever. It was Hellrider.
Zealous Conscripts. Everything.
Was just to make sure, Hellrider was a. Was
that
a
deck
five,
was the
six,
best.
And whenever a creature came into the battlefield, it did damage to each opponent, or was it just target creature?
No, whenever.
Zealous Conscripts.
Whenever a creature attacks.
Oh, whenever a creature attacks.
It pings the other player. So if you were attacking with 4 creatures, they would deal 4 damage to them before blockers were even declared.
Oh.
So 4 damage would get through anyways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh my.
Zealous Conscripts was was a lot of the time in red decks specifically to take other people's Hellriders from them.
Yeah.
So that you could then attack back,
yeah,
with haste for all that damage.
That's,
yes,
really cool. That's,
yeah,
amazing.
Our next card in the pack is known everywhere card, Naturalize. It's one of the classic cards of Magic. It's been printed so many times, everyone should know what it is.
It's like a giant spider.
Naturalize is 1 in the green for an instant, destroy target artifact or enchantment. I shouldn't have had to read it, but there you go.
Hey, everybody starts somewhere, but not everyone knows all the old cards.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Everyone gets read.
Okay.
We don't ever read every card. It matters.
Yeah.
Our next card should remind you of a card that has been printed recently. It is Rebuke.
That, Kill Shot.
Yeah. It is.
And Emulating Glare.
It's
been reprinted so many times with different names and different versions.
Yeah.
It's a white. It's a white. It's a white Ambush Viper.
Kind of. It's a. Yeah. It's a. No, it doesn't. Exile.
It destroys target creature.
Yeah.
It's a. Rebuke is 2 generic and a white for an instant, destroy target attacking creature. Pretty simple.
Yes.
Alright, and our last common is Grizzled Outcasts, which is a flip card. It's a 5-drop 4/4 to start with. It's a human werewolf. At the beginning of each upkeep, if no spells were cast last turn, transform it, and it transforms into Crown and Horde Wontons.
Wontons.
Is that really what it's called? Wontons.
They're Wontons, okay.
Which is a 7/7 werewolf. And it has the...
Not the food.
Yeah. It has the effect at the beginning of each upkeep. If a player casts 2 or more spells last turn, transform it back into Grizzled Outcast. That is...
And the reason we only have 9 commons is because we pulled a foil island.
Yes.
And that took one of the common slots.
And hence why we have the flip card, you know, mentioned. We have the front side and back side.
Yeah.
Okay, so in our uncommons, we have Fiend Hunter, which is a 3-drop 1/3 human cleric. When it enters the battlefield, you may exile another target creature. When it leaves the battlefield, return the exiled card to the battlefield under its owner's control.
This is my pick so far.
I love this card.
Yeah, it's great removal.
This is the same thing,
yeah,
as Banisher Priest in M14.
Yeah, Banisher Priest was the same thing. I recently won a Legacy Cube draft with Banisher Priest. Well, not won, but won a game.
Yeah. So that's a
Banisher Priest.
That's a high pick for this pack.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's definitely good.
So our next card is a land. It's Ghost Quarter. It's an uncommon land. It taps to add a colorless to your mana pool, and you can tap and sacrifice it to destroy target land. And its controller may search his or her library for a basic land card and put that onto the battlefield, then shuffle his or her library. This...
Land destruction? Good.
People might not know what I'm talking about at this point, but in Pro Tour Return to Ravnica, there was a deck that everyone came to hate later, which was called Eggs. and this was a key card in it to thin the deck of land. So you destroy a land, an island, and go get an island from your deck, so that it would thin the amount of
thin out your deck
of what would you call them? The
what?
It would thin out the amount of the cards you don't want to draw, which you don't want to draw a land when you're sitting there sacking artifacts to draw cards. That's all the deck was it laid a whole bunch of artifacts on the field. It gave itself a ton of mana with Lotus Blooms and stuff like that.
And basically, it nearly timed out.
Yeah. It would keep sacking artifacts to draw cards, and then it would cast either Second Sun Rising from Mirrodin, or it would cast Fate's Reward from M13 to bring back all of those artifacts and do it all over again. But the problem is that took so long for even a player that knew what they were doing to do. It took them to win a game probably 40 minutes.
My goodness. That's insane.
Yeah, or...
No, 20 minutes if they knew what they're doing. And a new player trying to play this deck would take them the entire round to even get through probably game one. It's that hard of a deck. I've tried playing it before in Modern, after the bannings, of course, and to no avail, it didn't do well.
That sounds like a very interesting deck. Like, that would be something really fun to look into.
It's not a deck that you can really play anymore.
Yeah, it's not really...
After they banned...
There's only one...
Key cards from it, so you couldn't play it.
Which bans?
They banned Second Sun Rising.
Oh.
So it's one of the things that returns it. And you can't just go off of Fate's Reward, because that's only 4 copies. Sorry. And you have to search through your deck for one of the 4 copies of that card every time. Granted, you can put the cards from your graveyard back into your library from Conjurer's Bauble.
Or, I mean, if we're running Artifacts, Elixir of Immortality, one of my highest picks for almost any deck you run.
Yeah, Elixir of Immortality could maybe be like a 1 or 2 of, but I don't know. Since it doesn't draw a card, it's probably not too good.
Yeah, that's why I always keep at least one in the deck just to make sure you don't deck out, because it puts itself back in there too, so you could reuse it as long as no one naturalizes it or exiles it of any kind.
Yeah. The only other card that would replace Second Sunrise is Empty the Vaults, which is a 6 mana version of Second Sun Rising, but only for artifacts and enchantments, and it just didn't work, because 6 mana is too much to get to. Anyways, back to the pack again. Moan of the Unhallowed is the next card. It is a 4 mana sorcery, 2/2 black. Put 2/2 black zombie creature tokens onto the battlefield. It also has flashback for 5/2 black.
Good on the first cast, okay on the second cast if you're desperate enough.
Not just desperate, but if you have enough mana.
Yeah, if you have enough, late game, you might need those extra creatures.
I mean, it's similar to Chainer's Edict. Chainer's Edict is a 2-drop, target player sacrifices a creature. Then it has a flashback cost of 7 to,
sacrifice a creature.
So it's, if you need it, then it's there. Pretty much.
That's the one thing I like about flashback is it's there if you need it. It gives you the option to, if you choose a spell for your deck, you have a second option to use it, and then it's gone for the whole game.
Not to mention you can get it back early with our rare and just cast it for 4 again.
Yeah, so our rare is Creeping Resistance, Creeping Renaissance, I should say. It is 3 colorless, a green and a green, so 3/2 green for a sorcery. Choose a permanent type. Return all cards of the chosen type from your graveyard to your hand. Flashback. And it has flashback for 7.
Which,
like I was saying, you cast Moan on turn 4, you get 2/2 guys, and then you cast this turn 5, you get all the sorceries from your graveyard in your hand. And then on turn 6, you cast Moan again.
Well, wait, hold on a second. Permanent type.
Permanent type. That's land, creature, sorcery, instant. That's a permanent type.
I would make that in a tribal format. I was just saying, like choose like elves or goblins or.
It's permanent type, so you can get all the land from your graveyard, all of the creatures from your graveyard, whatever you want.
I just learned something about Creeping Renaissance. I was the whole time I've known that card. I was under the impression it was basically. I was thinking creature type. I didn't even think of permanent type. My goodness, it's
yeah.
You learn something new every day, everybody. Type.
Man, it's good.
That's beautiful. I think right there, if I got the chance, that would be a pick. If you got the chance, that's never a bad.
Yeah, it seems like that would like seven is there.
It would be a solid first pick. It would be a good first pick.
Yeah,
because you can put it in any deck almost and just get whatever you want back.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter what you know what like as long as you're running that color.
Yeah.
Go wild. If you're more creature heavy, if you're more sort of spell friendly on the instance or sorceries or
enchantments. Oh, it's all cards.
Yeah, all cards of that type.
So you could, in the spider spawning deck, you choose sorcery, and if you got like two copies of spider spawning, you just got them all back. And then all the creatures in your graveyard, you just get all that many 1/2 spiders. Yeah.
That sounds beautiful.
Shout out to Brian David Marshall. I know he's not listening, but still.
Tell his him favorite, listen, damn it.
His favorite deck is the spider spawning limited deck.
Yeah.
He even made a commander deck out of it. Sidisi. Yeah.
Ooh.
All right. So that is the Innistrad pack. What is our next pack? I believe we have Conspiracy next.
Conspiracy's coming through. So when we crack this pack open, our first pull is a Dream Fracture, and that is 2 blue and a colorless or a generic for an instant counter target spell. Its controller draws a card, and you draw a card. So everybody draws cards.
I'm going to take your spell, but I'm gonna be nice and give you a card.
Yeah, see, the thing I like about this
is... It's like Remand.
Yeah, see, the thing I like about this is it no one will get really mad because it gives you a card to replace your
dragon.
Thing I counter.
Unless you're countering their Liliana of the Veil.
Or
their
Hellkite Overlord.
No, wait, I forgot. We're in Conspiracy, not in Strahd. Council's Judgment.
Gurge of the Throne.
They're going to cast Council's Judgment to get rid of your biggest threat. You Dream Fracture them and give them a
draw a card.
Another card.
Or you counter Marchesa?
Yeah, exactly. You know.
You don't want to let Marchesa.
But these drafts were multiplayer, so. In a way, you could kind of
politically
do this
to, you can use politics on this. It's like, who wants to draw a card? Problem is because we got to counter this spell, and I got to give someone a card. But
if
hold on. It's controller draws card. Never mind.
Yeah.
My thoughts is completely up with.
Yeah, so it's both player. Like if you're doing like a 1v1, both players will draw. If you're doing three people play,
it's just both.
Whoever's the bigger player.
It's you and the player that you countered the spell for.
And
with the way that they did this, at least at our local game store, they had an 8-man draft and then they split off into four into two groups of four, and then. Each of those two groups of four played, and then the two top players from both of those groups went into the next game, right? And the two losers from each group went into the next game, and then you found out who won from that, but. Basically, if you made it into the second game of the winner's pod, you would be able to get at least two packs out of it. Like you would win at least two packs if you made it into that round.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah,
sounds amazing.
Yeah, so all you had to do was survive the first round, and you got two packs at least. And then if you did good on the second round, then you got even more.
How many packs did it go up to?
Like four, I think.
Four.
What I like about this Dream Fracture card, sorry to spend too long on it, but I like the art, how it's like our dreams are an egg. And like just the tiniest little crack and boom.
Yeah.
Creation is a paradox. It hatches from its opposite.
Hatches from destruction. There you go.
Yeah.
The second pick we got from this conspiracy pack was the Doomed Traveler. Cost 1 planes for a 1/1 human soldier. When he dies, you get a 1/1 spirit flyer to the battlefield. So,
playable in any deck that you have white.
Yay, aristocrats!
Beautiful. More talk about aristocrats.
And just a fun fact out there, the first time Doomed Traveler was printed, at least to my knowledge, was from the pack we just opened before this, was from Innistrad.
Was that the first time it was printed?
At least the first time I remember seeing Doom Traveler.
Yes,
right?
That's the first time it was printed, I believe. Also, a thing to note about this is a prime target to block a creature, sacrifice it in response, and get a flyer.
You don't lose any value.
Yeah.
It'll never go down, and it's a first turn play.
And in fact, you gain value because you get a 1/1 flyer instead of a 1/1 ground creature.
Yeah, so you want to block, and it dies, and then you get a flyer.
Absolutely. I think right there, so far from what I've seen, I'm going to hold tight to this Doom Traveler as a pick. I can't say anything that was an official thing, but from what I've opened this pack, this is what I would already have drafted.
All right, so our next card is...
Our third card is Turn the Tide. It costs a blue and a generic. For an instant, creatures your opponents control get -2/-0 until the end of turn. The first time I remember seeing this printed was in Scars of Mirrodin, at least in that block.
Yeah. It's a good card. Playable in any... once again, just a really good... It's good at slowing things down so that you can get ahead. It's a good
similar to Dampening Pulse, but it's only one turn. So
it's closer to Roller Mage's Trick from the new... If you're talking about BFC, it's closer to Roller Mage's Trick.
Yeah. I have a question. What is the art talking about? That's not...
That is
what do you mean, what is the art talking about?
Does that look like it's underwater, or what?
Well, that's near... If memory serves, it was not the seat of the Synod, but it was over the Quicksilver Sea with the Nurok speaking.
What does the flavor text say?
The flavor text says, "Let their mindless armies come and face the might of genius." From Varel, Nurok Partisan.
Face the might of genius.
that's right there, a Nurok and a Vidalkin for you in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. Not ever thinking anything else other than we're geniuses, so we win. Which was the downfall in how Jintataxis took over.
Uh-oh. Alright, what's our next card?
Got a little lore there. Sorry about that, guys. For our fourth pull, we have a Trumpet Blast, which is 2 colorless with a red. For an instant, attacking creatures get +2/+0 until end of turn. Kind of funny how third card was Turn the Tide, the creatures get -2/-0, and this one turns around to, no, exactly. They're getting +2/+0. I've countered you with red.
And also, I need to clarify something. Last time I said Trumpet Blast gave haste, and I was completely wrong.
There's no haste for you on the Trumpet Blast. Get your haste from Fervor.
It does, however, what he says. It counters
Turn the Tide. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a direct counter for that.
-2/-0? No. They're gonna stay the same. They're not going anywhere.
I'm doing this attack. You're not gonna stop me. Where's your genius now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the flavor text. Keldon warriors don't need signals to tell them where to attack. They need signals to tell them when to stop.
Just move. What? They'll tell us when to stop when we're done. We're having fun.
I don't make the rules.
It's like, no, this attack is happening.
I don't care if you're attacking each other. You're attacking.
The fifth pull we got was Lizard Warrior. He costs 3 colorless, 3 generic with a red. Lizard Warrior 4/2.
Vanilla creature. He's not the best.
He's not really a pick. If you're running like a tribal deck or you're just doing like a build-up deck, whatever, he's a solid creature.
He's like a fifth pick.
He's okay if he comes around and you're already in red.
Yeah, if you're already in red, he's like a fifth pick in that sense. If this is your second pack or whatever, you pick him partially into this pack.
If you're a more recent drafter, you would... I mean, he's got the same stats as believe it's Whiptail. The 4/2 that get gets first strike with landfall, but that hardly ever happens.
Yeah.
He trades up. He trades up. That's what he does do. He trades with something with a toughness 4, which he kills a lot, but he also gets killed by a lot.
Yeah. What is our next card?
Our next card is the Gnarled Pack. One generic and a forest for a 2/2 beast. With a multi-kicker of a color of a generic and a forest, and when he enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter for each time he was kicked.
Very good.
Love this little thing.
Good early game, good late game, good anytime you want to play him.
Because mm-hmm. regardless, even if you don't multi-kick, that's mm-hmm. two for a 2/2. That's
he's a bear.
Mm-hmm. You see, what's really broken is, like, in Commander, not that you'd play this guy in Commander, and sorry, by the way, that I got the wrong set symbol. I know it's from Conspiracy, but I got the Modern Masters one instead. So, but anyways, if you do happen to play this in Commander, then, you know, use Nykthos, your mono green devotion deck. You just kick this, like, 1,000 times. This thing just gets huge.
Yeah.
I really... One thing about Devotion, I really wish it just said, like, the permanent, not... Like, I like the CMC part, where it will, you know, where one card can equal, like, 3 or 4 of your Devotion. But yeah, it just takes away the token of, why can't I just have infinite Devotion?
Well, I mean, it'd be too broken if they included the permanents. If they included the amount of the tokens to be able to count for Devotion, that would be all the decks from here on out.
There are some tokens that do count for Devotion.
With a mana cost?
Yeah. What's the card called? 3 mana 2/2 with Trample. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, it makes a token. It's a copy of itself. So the token is...
Oh, yeah. So copies do trigger that.
Yes. Because, so there are some tokens that are they're direct copies of cards that do count toward Devotion.
So if we had something like a
Coil... Clone still has a converted mana cost of 1 blue, 3 colorless.
No, but if it becomes a copy of that creature, that's
right. You're talking about a token. Oh, but yeah, clone still has that 1 blue converted mana cost.
So that won't change with the creature.
No, I don't believe it does.
Alright, so our next card is...
Necromantic Thirst, one of my personal favorites. Not sure how effective in a draft, but it is one of my favorite enchants. 2 black, 2 generic. For an enchantment aura, you enchant creature. When an enchanting creature deals combat damage to a player, you return a creature card from your graveyard to your hand. Just overall, I love the idea. Just before you start off in like a Mardu format, or even a mono black format, however you're running this, you keep your creature with the Necromantic Thirst, whoever you enchanted. You sack all your little guys that will come back, like your blood ghasts. You bring back your blood soul champions so that you can kill those guys, because it doesn't matter when they die, because they just come back with landfall or attacking. And so you just sit back having your fun. You kill your guys that will give you big boosts, like when they die, they give you tokens, give you +1 counters. And then go on your big attack, flip it around, and everything, and you get whoever you need back. You just, it keeps playing with itself. That's why I choose
to play with itself. That's all I need to say.
Alright, so our next card is
the Copperhorn Scout. It costs a forest for an elf scout 1/1. When Copperhorn Scout attacks, untap each other creature you control.
It's good. I don't know how good it is in this.
Well, I mean,
I don't think I'd pick it up.
Just this wouldn't happen, but maybe it would in the Chaos draft. But like in War of the Gods, like Painseer, whenever it's untapped, you duck confidence ability. So this would help. You attack with it, and then when this attacks, you trigger it and untap each other creature you control, so you get a Painseer trigger.
Oh. Hmm. That's a nice little combat trick right there.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And things like other things in that set had, I forget what the keyword was, but...
What's that?
From Born of Gods. Whenever something comes untapped, something happens. Inspired, I think, is the ability?
No, that was Theros Block.
There was in the Eventide,
Born of the Gods is in the Theros Block.
Yes.
I can say, I don't remember exactly the name of the mechanic, but it...
For a second, I thought you were talking about the Rapid Clock, but yeah, see, it's...
Painseer, it is inspired, is the mechanic, but whenever it becomes untapped, reveal the top card of your library, you put that card into your hand, you lose life equal to that card's converted to mana cost.
It's like Bob.
Except a lot better version of Bob, in my opinion. It doesn't happen every upkeep, it just happens when it's untapped. So... You can control when you want to do it.
Wicker want to be Bob. He wants to be Bob.
Hey, in some ways this is better than Bob. I mean, Dark Confident isn't worth it, in my opinion, because
Bob's biggest fan.
because of how bad things can be when you reveal a card.
Yeah.
You can reveal a 7-drop lose in life right there. You can lose the game off of a flip.
You know, we're talking about the Dark Confident where we're seeing Bob. Did you know that?
I actually didn't. That's why I'm enjoying what you're saying, because this is teaching me a little bit more as well.
And this is Dark Confident?
Yeah, he's who they call Bob.
Dark Confident is a 2-drop, 2-1.
He's worth like $80.
At the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card of your library and put that card in your hand. You lose life equal to its converted mana cost.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
So every upkeep you draw cards technically, but you have to lose life to do it. But I don't like him because he loses you so much life. You have to build a deck around him to make everything like 3 and under.
There are modern decks that use him that play a lot of lower costed cards so that you don't kill yourself.
Modern decks that play Tarmogoyf and Brother K.
They play this like card.
That's insane. That's a beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyways. Back to the again. All the tangents.
We've got Alter's Reap for our next card, and it's a 1 generic, 1 swamp for an instant. As an additional cost, either sack a creature, and then you draw 2 cards. Very black, very good black.
Good, was recently reprinted in Battle for Zendikar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good with sacrifice effects.
Exactly what you want in black to draw cards. In black, you usually second creatures losing life to draw cards anyway.
Good with graveyard triggers.
I mean, in black decks especially, your main source
you
is source.
You can travel. You can travel to it.
Oh, yes, you could.
You could run that in Orzhov format.
Or if you need it, just you wouldn't use this in Commander, I don't think. But if you were in Commander and you had a Kozilek on the battlefield, you need your graveyard shuffled in. You sack Kozilek to that, draw 2 cards.
Attack with Kozilek first.
Yeah, you attack first, then you sack Kozilek to this, and you draw 2 cards and shuffle your graveyard in him.
Oh my, that's a really cool little trick to just keep things back in the deck, just to keep it fresh.
Yeah,
definitely.
Very nice.
Okay.
We've got, for our last common of the pack, it's one of my another personal pick I would love. It's Nature's Claim. 1 forest for an instant, destroy target artifact or enchantment, its controller gains 4 life.
In a lot of ways, it's a better naturalize.
it's not always the best to give 4 life to your opponent, however, for one turn, just being able to.
Exactly.
This is a big sideboard card in the modern Infect deck.
Oh.
Because the Infect deck will run anywhere from 2 to 4 of these. Depending on how big affinity is in the
yeah, because they don't care about your life total. They're trying to kill. They're trying to deal 10 poison counters, and they don't care about your life total.
Yeah,
your life total can be 100. They don't care.
You can have infinite life.
Yeah.
They're not looking at
that. And against affinity, they just need to deal 10.
They just need to deal 10.
Yeah, against affinity, this is one of the big cards. And it only costs them 1 green mana, which mana is precious to the Infect player because they don't run as many land as normal decks do. Which is why, because they have so many Infect creatures and ways to get the game done. Because
the Infect is the whole purpose of just push forward, we're just going to end this.
Little creatures with pump spells.
The whole point is to be able to do it with 3 or 4 mana.
If I can poke fun at an old strategy that I used to see back when I was going to Mazer, not fond of this at all, like I do not endorse this, but I do have a lot of good times just give it a joke with it. The best strategy in Magic the Gathering. Warstorm Surge with a Blightsteel Colossus. Because that takes all the skill in the world.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are on to the uncommons?
Yes, and we are starting off with a really nice uncommon. Swords to Plowshares.
First pick, by far, we can just stop here.
Fair enough. Exile target creature, its controller gains life equal to its power. Good night. Even if you give them the big boost, like even if they've got a big old guy, take the life. I don't want to deal with that because that'll kill me.
Yeah, this is a commander card.
Even
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is a commander card. See it in commander all the time.
If I make Stigma Lasher, hit him really fast so that he does the combat damage to the player so he can't gain life for the rest of the game, and then you source the Plashers.
Stigma Lasher says that you can't gain life for the rest of the game. Yep.
Yes.
After it deals combat damage.
One interesting thing on Stigma Lasher, he was essentially an early emblem before they had the emblem mechanic out there. Because it didn't state it, but it just, for the whole game, you left something there because you didn't gain it at all, no matter what happened. Mm-hmm. Which, wow. Signal Ash is one of my personal favorite red cards in general.
Yeah, yeah, out of this pack, this is probably one of the top cards I think about,
Oh, absolutely.
What is our next uncommon?
It's Favorable Winds. One generic and a island. For an enchantment, creatures you control with flying get +1/+1.
I was beaten with this card more times than any other card in this draft format.
Blue Eyed Flyers, for real, man.
Still, even if I were playing that deck, I would pick the swords first.
It's like, for our listeners, you've heard us say almost every podcast, Blue Eyed Flyers is a huge limited deck. This is why, because there's things like this that give flying creatures +1/+1, and it's always going to be there. Blue Eyed Flyers is always there.
Yeah, you got Doom Traveler in there, you got swords, you got Fable, whatever.
It's just...
It's
a deck you can always rely on. Like, if you're ever trying to get, you're ever stumped on a deck, you don't know what you want to do, it never hurts to just throw together a quick white-blue flyer, because it's always there.
Yeah.
Every set you're going to see.
And in Constructed, it gets even better.
It's just always there, yeah.
Because then you have all the choices in the world. Because every set will have at least one deck for Blue Eyed Flyers, at least.
Well, yeah, they try to, at least in most of the recent sets, they've tried to engineer the sets to where you can draft a deck of each of the two color combinations. You know what I mean? And you can do so pretty well. Like,
yeah.
In this previous, in Battle for Zendikar, in Triple Battle for Zendikar,
two people could have the same deck.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying like they had like, say you were going blue red. Eldrazi was more defensive, and Kozilek's Channelers, and your I forget the other guy, three mana, 0/5. Yeah, that guy too. Yeah, you basically had a lot of toughness, and you were able to finish the game that way. Whereas if you move, if you stay in Eldrazi and you move to red black, all of a sudden you've got Eldrones and you're more aggressive.
Yeah.
And then you move to blue black, Eldrazi still. Which was more the Devoid, Devoid Processors deck.
I think it's cool that,
you know. So they design these sets to where you can draft each individual two color combination, and it can be a completely different deck.
Yeah,
I
like how they made it so that the like literally almost any deck you draft in Battle for Zendikar would have use out of Eldrazi, which I guess was the point of bringing it back, but. Almost every deck will get use of Eldrazi.
Yeah.
At least one. Like, Ruin Processors go in a lot of different decks because people like to gain life. And it's not too hard to trigger if you have, like, Ingest or if you have, you know, stuff that exiles from the top.
Exactly. So. I did a draft the other day. I swear there were 7 Touch of the Voice that went around. And no Rune Processors. Seriously, I picked up 3 Touch of the Voids. One of the dudes that I played against picked up 4.
Oh my god!
And he used all 4 in the game.
Wow.
And then another guy used another one against me the later. So there could have been more. Like, it was a draft and it was full of Touch of the Voids.
Mono red burn.
Here, everybody. Anyone have burn heals?
Everyone was being touched.
Yeah.
Everybody got touched.
Crazy.
Everybody got touched.
Alright.
Next up.
I got touched at least 5 times.
But we've, for our next pick, it's a very nice favorite. It's Relic Crush. 4 generic in a forest. 4 destroy target artifact or enchantment. And up to another target artifact or enchantment.
So you can get 2.
2 for 5, I'll take this. That's a 2 for 5.
I think it should have been 4 mana, because you can get this effect for 2 mana. And if you're getting 2 artifacts or enchantments, you could just double the mana cost to 4. I don't know why it's 5, but it just seems overcosted.
I think they didn't want to, like, just make it a double naturalize. They wanted to kind of make it different.
Yeah.
Because if it were 4, it would just be 2 naturalizes.
It's like
Quarantine Zone in BFC again. for if you're casting it for six, it's two Oblivion Rings. Right? But if you cast it for more, it just gets better. If you cast it for eight, all of a sudden you're hitting three permanents. If you cast it for 10, you're hitting four permanents for 10 mana. You know, so it just gets better and better and better.
Anyways, what is our last... what is our rare, actually?
Our gold for the set is... for this pack is Exploration. One forest for an enchantment. You may play an additional land on each of your turns. Landfall decks right there. And any deck never hurt to be able to have an extra land every turn. No deck will hurt.
100%. I think it's best in Commander.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
This is definitely best in Commander.
Yeah.
And then we pulled our conspiracy card of the pack was Sentinel Dispatch. Start the game with this conspiracy face up in the command zone. At the beginning of the first upkeep, put a 1/1 colorless construct artifact creature with token with Defender onto the battlefield.
Very nice. I think my first pick would still be Swords to Plowshares, just because removal spell, it's one of the best.
Same here. Yeah, same here.
Yeah, it's Swords to Plowshares and Nature's Claim. I like the idea of just always having that up front, be able to bomb an artifact or enchantment, because those can slow you down. Like, even the creatures.
Yeah. Like,
there's always a way to get rid of a creature in your deck and stuff.
Yeah. Back when this was in able to be drafted, not that it still is, but... Exploration was a money card, so people would value draft it.
I would value draft it if it was worth more than $10. I would take any card for being worth more than $10. Because then you just paid for a chunk of it. Because I usually go and sell those cards right after. So I make at least a chunk back
from what you spent.
From what you spent on the draft.
Yeah. You could either get another. You could get a rare for your deck. You could get a few extra packs. Just
Like I two drafts in a row. He was drafting with me, and I picked up a Gideon Ally of Zendikar. Two drafts in a row. We're 17 tickets on Magic Online. We were playing on Magic Online.
I can't.
We're 17
you did
tickets.
That.
A draft is 14 tickets, so I paid for two more drafts with those two cards.
Oh my goodness, that's remarkable.
Two and a half more drafts.
Yeah, two and a half more drafts. And I already had like 30 tickets in there, so I just had a ton more tickets.
But we all agree out of this pack that Swords Splash Shares is the pick.
Swords. I would hope, and it probably wouldn't happen, but I would hope for favorable winds to come back because
I would hope for, what was it? Let me go back there and find out. Let's see. I would personally hope for the Nature's Claim to come back, or, you know, Doom Traveler to come back, because that's a big pick, too. Because you're already in white with Sword Splashers. So you don't want to not run that card, so you probably want to end up picking Doom Traveler anyways.
Doom Traveler or the Nature's
Claim. It's good to stay open.
Yeah. But anyways, we have one more pack to go. And we are going to open a Gatecrash pack. And what is our first card?
Our first card, I'm going to take you down to 10th Street Market. Four generic with a mountain, enchantment aura. You enchant the land, and then your enchanted land has tap, discard a card, draw a card. Bit pricey, but it's not too bad.
I saw that in your commander deck. Mm-hmm. He plays it in his Duretti commander deck.
Similar to... the black version of this, but
Underworld Connections.
Yes, Underworld Connections. Thank you.
One of the reasons I love 10th Street Market and I run it in my Duretti mono red artifact is I like to keep my graveyard loaded with artifacts. I like to be able to keep them there because I'll run junk divers.
Yeah, because Duretti can bring them right in.
Exactly.
Yes.
So I just sit back. Okay, I don't want to spend 11 mana on Darksteel Colossus. Okay. Whatever. Why? I'd rather pay nothing for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Spend
I'd rather
a
throw him in for
counters.
Free after paying five for Duretti.
What's some loyalty counters compared to a lot of mana? What is our next card?
Our next card, we're going to go into the Simic, and that is the Cloudfin Raptor. One island for a 0/1 bird mutant with a flying and an evolved mechanic.
It's good. I mean, it's one of the... I mean, it's one of the best little flyers in the set.
This and Experiment One.
It was actually on Channel Fireball's top 8 birds episode. it's one of their top 8 birds of
all time.
That
thing can get pretty huge quick.
All you have to do is just keep big. You just keep power transferring, make sure something's not stronger.
The first creature you cast after this, it gives this a counter, and then it just keeps going up and up.
Yeah.
Until it's like a 3-4 or 4-4, and then you can just beat with it.
Well, it'll be a 3-4 or 4-5.
Yeah.
Or 5-6.
Exactly. Yeah. It just gets in there after it gets bigger.
Yeah. And for those who don't know what Evolve does, it is whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, if that creature has greater power or toughness than this creature, put a 1-1 counter on this creature.
Yes.
And that can be making sure that something, like...
It's like that blood-crazed Neonite, kinda. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you can't stop it.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just running a combat.
If you don't stop it early, you can't stop it.
Yeah.
Well, unless you Sword to Plowshare.
I'm sorry.
Unless you Sword to Plowshare.
Or touch it.
Yeah, or touch to the void. All right, what's our next card?
Okay. Our next card, we're running an Orzhov Instant. It's a Beckon Apparition. It's a hybrid cost of a Plains or a Swamp, just one. Exile target card from anyone's graveyard, and then put a 1/1 white-black spirit creature token with flying onto the battlefield.
Pretty decent.
Very good. 1/1 flyer for one.
If played with battle for Zendikar, you can maybe trigger one of those Eldrazi's with it. One of those processors, mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Our next, we're going with, if it's not Grohl, then die, Xur-Tos Wine. 3 generic and a red and a green for a 5/4 boar with Blood Rush. And his Blood Rush is a generic, a red and a green. You can discard him from your hand to give target attacking creature +5/+4. Blood Rush was easily, by far, my favorite mechanic of Gatecrash.
He's definitely more than playable with the Blood Rush cost than the actual cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not meant for a creature you'll see on the field. He'll be the instant that'll give you +5/+4 to punch everything you have.
Yes.
I love it. You said, if not Gruul, then die. The people in this carriage didn't go Gruul, so they died.
the Gruul are self-explanatory. If you're not Gruul, then die.
This little boar here, it knocked over the carriage, and looks like there's a guy sitting out there dead.
Because he blood rushed him. He was like, you don't follow me. Clans!
It says, Gurley was the first to domesticate one, though his widow didn't take much solace in that accomplishment. It killed him.
For Bobo!
It killed him.
And right. Our next card is a... instant Wildwood Rebirth, 1 generic, 1 cut forest for a return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. Not too bad. I'd run that.
Good if it comes around.
It's regrowth for those who know older cards.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're already in green and it comes around, you want it. I wouldn't first pick it.
Yeah. What is our next card? Okay.
Our next card is the Foundry Street Denizen, 1 red for... Beautiful title, Goblin Warrior. 1/1. Whenever another red creature enters the battlefield under your control, he gets +1/+0 till the end of turn. fire breathing it every single time a creature comes in, a red creature.
Yeah.
Similar to Sentinel.
Sentinel.
Yeah. Kozilek Sentinel.
I love the flavor text. After the Foundry Street Riot, Arrester Hobian tried to ban Bludgeonous. Which inevitably resulted in another riot. You can't keep them goblins away, man.
we will rise up with our popping sounds and our surgeons that make abominations.
You kill 1,000 of them, they just keep coming.
Cranko!
They come up and double the force.
Cranko the mob boss.
Our next pick is Corpse Blockade. Reminds me heavy of a Golgari feat. It's not a specific guild, but that's what I get from it. It's 2 generic with a black, zombie type, 1/4 defender, with, sorry about that, apologize, sacrifice another creature, Corpse Blockade gains death touch until the end of turn, making him an accessible, beautiful wall.
Yeah, he kills things. It's a wall that blocks well.
Join us!
I love it's a zombie. It literally makes sense because it blocks anything that comes towards it, but then it also deals damage from the zombies just hitting him.
Yeah, because the zombies are reaching out from it. Yeah, you
know, I'm actually fond of this flavor text. There are laws against it, but the dead have no one to complain to, and the living are too frightened to investigate.
Yeah, who cares if they can't complain? Let's run away.
They can just do their own thing. Just stay there.
You stay on this side of the line. We'll be fine.
We just put all these bodies here just to keep everyone away from each other.
And it's a warning, too. Mm. If you go over there, you become one with the wall. They're banding! It's a wall of banding and gate crash!
There you go. Become blockade.
Our 1-1 has banded with 3-0-1s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our next pick is a pretty nice artifact. The armor transport costs 3 generic for a 2-1 construct. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt to armor transport by creatures blocking.
You see, it should just be preventing a little beater too, that thing, because this is an armored freaking tank.
It's a good, quick little beater.
Yeah.
The flavor text is actually pretty nice. It's pretty short. If only our jails were secure.
Yeah. If you keep it on the offense, they literally can't kill it.
Yeah.
And that came from Lavina, the 10th President, Azorius. Dang Azorius and their joys and their laws.
So I guess this does make sense that it is a tank, because As long as it keeps attacking,
it's indestructible.
Yeah.
If it blocks, it's dead.
If it's
it's a blocker.
Yeah. If it's left to retreat or anything, then it's gonna die.
Mm-hmm. Our next pick, we're going back to the Orzhov Syndicate with a Syndicate Enforcer. 3 generic and a black with on a human rogue creature type. 3/2. Overall, just not bad. Just I have that extort with there.
Extort's good.
It'll stack. So you just keep building up your extort creatures, and boom.
This is also the set where extort was huge, because this was the debut set for extort, and this is the only set that has extort.
Yes.
So, obviously, in this set, there were a ton of extort cards. So, like, Blind Obedience...
Maybe they returned Ravnica again in, like, 10 years.
Blind Obedience was a card that is a good extort card. Creatures entering the battlefield and are tapped instead of untapped. And you can extort.
If I can throw something out there really fast, on the topic, if we did do another Return to Ravnica, do you think we would actually see any work with the ancient Nephilims?
Oh, yeah, the Nephilims.
Because that would be something really
I know, cool. Those would be sweet. Do you know what the Nephilims are, Tyler?
They're the only five cards in the whole game.
Five cards, only cards in the whole game that are four colors. It's all of the four color combinations.
And the thing is, The only thing I don't like...
They all have awesome legendary abilities, too.
They're not legendary. That's the one thing that bothers me.
Yeah, and they all have awesome...
So they can't be commanders.
But they can be played in a five-color commander deck.
Yeah.
Because we've got four out of the five. We're here.
Yeah.
So anyways, another thing to note about the Syndicate Enforcer. He's also good with other extort abilities, such as Crypt Ghast.
Oh, Crypt Ghast.
Which doubles... Swamps.
And he only costs four.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2/2
3/2. Oh, is
this 3/2? Yeah, this is 3/2. And extort, so you're going to drain him a little bit while you're doing all
this. The only thing is this guy's a rogue, so it makes it sound like he should have, like, unblockable or some sort of evasion, but he doesn't.
He's a basic level Dimir who's trying to transact from the Church of the Orzhov. He's now considered a threat to any Orzhov. He's trying to join the Dimir. No doubt, we are watching. Souls are on the line. You will be paid handsomely once you sign the contract.
Alright, what is our last common of the pack?
Our last common of the pack is Burst of Strength for one forest, instant +1/+1 to a creature, and then untap it. There's nothing hard in it. This is a
combat trick.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing to have in the head.
This would be a great fight card, but it's unfortunately not a fight card, but...
And it's a counter, so it'll stay on there.
Yeah,
one counter is it's one counter.
You know, I would say that if you're opening a pack, this is something that would not harm to be a first, second, or even a third pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you get something like that, it's not going to hurt your deck at all. It's just going to keep you up there. It's nice to have.
Yeah.
Alright, what is the first uncommon?
It's another good combat trick. It's a tower defense. One generic in a forest for an instant. Creatures you control get +5/+0/+5 and gain reach until the end of turn. So it's just, they hit you with a bunch of flyers.
Good sideboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
You get a supplier deck. And then there is...
We finally got to the aristocrats we've been talking about. Yeah, we've been
talking about the aristocrats, the whole thing.
Cartel aristocrat.
It is a human life.
Yeah.
So human advisor, 2/2. Sack another creature, cartel aristocrat gains protection from the color of your choice until the end of the turn.
Elder Cathar, just saying, works perfectly with this. You sack it, you give this thing two counters.
And protection.
And protection. It just kills something.
Yeah.
And then you just, heck, if you're doing a monocolor and stuff, you just sack the other Cathar and stuff, you hit them 4 damage directly because they can't block you.
For a chaos draft, we should put one of these packs in with with another Innistrad pack.
Yeah, just to see
maybe some of those cards will match up.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing actually a lot of stuff that could match up.
Yeah, we could throw in a Dark Ascension pack too and see if someone gets the lucky... Yeah. Falcon Math Aristocrat pack.
You can throw in BFC, and Extort, too, would work with BFC.
Yeah.
What
is our next uncommon?
It is a wonderful Orzhov. He's the Knight of Obligation. He can calculate interest to 6 decimal places, even in the midst of a deadly battle. He costs 3 generic and old planes, Human Knight Vigilance with Extort 2/4. Just...
Yep.
Best blocker ever.
Sits back, he gains your life, takes life, he can swing every turn without losing the fact of him.
He's obligated to do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Block, not block, attack.
He's the Knight of Obligation, so he's not obligated to do anything.
So he obligates others to do things.
While he calculates to the interest of the six decimal.
He's just calculating while all the other people are obligating people to do things.
Before we had calculators, he can math. Knights of Obligations. Yeah,
he can math.
The Knight of Math.
And our goal, our rare for the pack, was the Biomass Mutation, a Simic card, a hybrid split of 2 forests, 2 islands, one of the two, and then X. Creatures you control become XX until end of turn. Pretty nice combat trick.
Can be a pretty big overrun if you cast it late enough.
It's really good on tokens, I would say.
Oh, absolutely.
It's
even
good on that Crossman Raptor.
For 2 mana, you can make all your tokens 2/2s. If they were 1/1s, they're now all 2/2s, and they're significant.
If you picked up that Raptor or a few other cards like that, you know, with evasion, or even this Knight of Obligation, you're attacking with a bunch of guys with evasion.
Also, let it be known, you can cast this for 0 and make everything die when you're attacking. Or not when you're attacking, but if you need to wipe the board, you can wipe the board by making everything 0/0.
Well, it wipes your board.
Yeah.
Creatures you control. So if you want to kill all of your creatures, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would want to kill all your creatures.
I can tell you a good reason. Great pact.
it would kill everything. Yes, Grave Pact would be good.
I don't know why.
I would be more likely to use this as an overrun.
Yeah.
Just to finish the game, basically, or break the wall. Like,
Just
the creatures won. The creatures I don't think will be quite as huge as the creatures in the art, but they could be in formats such as Commander or whatever.
Doubling cube for the win.
Yeah, doubling cube.
Mana reflection.
Just saying, that'd be really scary to see outside. You just see all these giant creatures that look like ghosts crushing buildings.
Well, guys, what happened today? It finally happened. The clouds are attacking. Well, yeah. I'm getting back to signing my allegiance over to the clouds. Pulls out a transcript.
Uh-huh.
Take me with you, please.
And then the turn ends and... But alright, that is our last pack for today, guys.
My pick would definitely be Cartel Aristocrats, actually.
Yeah.
This is what I would take out of this pack.
Once we get to the end of it,
what do you think?
Oh, obviously,
in this pack,
I would have to choose the Cartel just because out of every card we got, she's the most versatile that you can use. That gives
also,
you
we were talking about Aristocrats the whole video.
Yeah, so why not take the Aristocrat? I think all of us agree Cartel Aristocrats is the pick. But thank you all for watching.
that's it for this episode. Until we meet again, I am Shyler. I am with Jeff Ovison and Tyler Hill. You can find us, me at least, on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube at ShyGuy768. And you can find Tyler.
TheEdge452 on YouTube. All my links are there. Yeah, you can find me there.
And I'm on Facebook under the Moran Watchtower. And that's, I'm currently in the process of setting up a Twitter account, so be ready for that, a brand new one. And may the five sacred sons of Mirrodin be with every one of you out there.
I'll post the link to the Mirrodin Watchtower Facebook page in the description, so check in there. And again, thank you all for watching, but until we meet again, may you all draw well, but most of all, have fun.